Coming from the University of Winnipeg, Centennial Hall, 4th and a half floor, sandwiched between the toxic smell of microwaved popcorn toppings and the sound of flushing toilets, you have reached the windowless paradise that is CKUW 95.9 FM. Listener-driven radio with a little something for everyone.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, the kids' crew is going to explore graphic novels. We meet the chief Indigenerd at the Indigenous Imagination Workshop, Dr. Lee Francis, whose publishing house features graphic novels for all ages written by Native authors and illustrators. We also meet a science illustrator who creates graphics to help kids better understand complex scientific topics. Together, they show how graphic novels can blend art and words to make reading fun and powerful. We've also got some book reviews from the kids on the crew. Stick with us for the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Once a kid got homework, but he ate it. Why did he eat it?
I don't know. Why?
Because the teacher said that the homework was a piece of cake.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
You gotta get up every day, look at yourself in the mirror, and say, I believe in myself. I'm a force.
To be special, I was born to be a queen. I was put here for incredible things, know what I mean? I work hard, I'm smart, I'm unforgettable. I look in the mirror and say, girl, you incredible. I'm a survivor. If I fall down, I'm gonna get up. Fix my crown now, I will not give up. You can doubt me, you can hate me, you can talk behind my back, but don't you ever underestimate me. I believe in myself, I believe I deserve nothing less than the best. I be talking to myself, saying, girl, you want it? Go get it till you got it. Now say it with your chest, yeah, say it with your chest. I can be anything. I'm in control of my own destiny. Don't ever let nobody tell you what you can and can't achieve. Build it, work it, believe, I believe I'm a force.
Force to be reckoned with, I'm a force. Of course, I'ma do my best, I'm a force.
Peak flow, succeeding with no cheat codes. Just focus and discipline till I see growth. Cause I'm consistent. Yeah, I'm relentless. I can't afford to quit. Giving up is too expensive. I got my city on my back. Ain't no holding back. I can't let myself down. Ain't no time for that. I got what it takes. I'm raising the stakes. One day they gonna mention me among the greats. So when they tell me I can't, I go harder. With a mentality, I'm just getting smarter. Full steam ahead like I'm speeding in my Charger. Can't nobody fade me, not even my barber. I'm a force, I'm an energy. Positivity and peace is my ministry. I'm creative, innovative, watch me do my thing. When I'm done, the world gon' remember me. I am brilliant and gracious, compassionate and patient. I take accountability, I stand and I face it. There is no opponent, I run my own races. I am the personification of greatness.
I'm a fool. Y'all feel that?
So I'm called. I'm a force. My best. I'ma do my best. I'ma do my best. I'm a fool.
You gotta look in the mirror every day. Look yourself in the eye.
That's Divinity Rocks from Worldwide Playdate. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We are at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom, and I'm here with a whole lot of great people. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Nina.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Killian.
Hello, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Raymond.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Today on the show, we are going to focus on something called graphic novels. Anyone know what graphic novels are? Does anyone read graphic novels?
A graphic novel is a form of literature where part of the story is told through pictures.
Right. It's almost like a comic book in a way, but it can be about anything. It can be a novel. It can be historical fiction.
I gotta say, I love graphic novels myself. They're really a fun way, I feel like, to sometimes jump into a world and get a better idea of how it looks and get a better idea of the location and story. And it feel like it really connects a story more to me.
Mm. Yeah, Thorfinn.
Just for your information, a graphic novel is a comic book. The definition of a comic book is just pictures and words. Nah, it doesn't have to be like about superheroes or 30 cents or anything.
Wow. I guess I always kind of thought of graphic novels as like long form comics in a way. Yeah, Asa.
I like graphic novels, but I just don't really like reading them.
Ah, you just like looking at all the pictures?
Yes.
Hmm.
I like reading them because they're like books that you can see.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, we're going to jump in to learning about graphic novels with someone who has actually been responsible for starting a whole different section of graphic novels that focuses on indigenous literature, indigenous authors, native literature, native stories. And his name is Dr. Lee Francis. He actually founded something called the Indigenous Imagination Workshop. And we're going to learn a lot more about that. We're going to find out how graphic novels can help people who maybe are struggling to read become happier reading books. And we're going to learn how everyone, even if you think you don't like graphic novels, there might be one that's just right for you. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour. There's a lot to learn. This is Turtle Dance Music. Listening to the Children's Hour, I'm Katie Stone, and I'm very excited to have with us on the show today Dr. Lee Francis IV. He is from the Pueblo of Laguna. He's also called Dr. Indigenerd. He's the founder and chief imagination officer of the Indigenous Imagination Workshop, which is an organization that's dedicated to sparking and cultivating the Indigenous imagination. He's also an educator, and he's the founder of Indigenous Comic-Con, Indigenous Worlds of Wonder, Indigenous Futurisms Festival. Oh my gosh, I could go on and on and on. He lives in North Carolina with his family, but he's here with us on the Children's Hour. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Dr. Lee Francis IV.
All right. Kwatsi, everybody. This is so exciting. I am a huge fan of the Children's Hour. Always have been, always will be. I am super excited to be here. Super excited. Get that right there. I got jokes, too.
Ooh,
I am super,
super
excited.
Like a superhero.
Like a superhero. to be here to chat with everybody about comics and graphic novels and all the fun things in between.
Why do you like comics?
Because they embody the spirit of adventure, because it's the best place to use your imagination. You can have someone that's just, you know, a regular person, and then they open up their shirt and they're Superman. And all you got to do is just draw them a little bit differently from one place to the next. That's why I like comics.
What's it like making a graphic novel? Is it hard or easy, and does it take a long time?
So let me break it down for you. Here's all the pieces that make up a graphic novel. So when you go to pick it up off the shelf, what you get is the end product where everything has come together. It's like a cake, but there's a lot of ingredients to go into making the cake. When you make a graphic novel or a comic book or anything that uses sequential art, you have a story, you have illustrations. So you start out with just little light sketches of how you want everything to look. We call that thumbnails. And so you draw little sketches. You may know it as like a storyboard. That's another way to think through it. And then those sketches get more detailed. We call those pencils. Then you have somebody that does inks. And all they do is put all the heavy lines over everything. And then you have somebody that handles colors. And then they put all the coloring, and then they color everything in there. And then there's a person that comes in that does letters. And so then they put all the things that you wrote onto the page itself. And then you have a designer that takes all of those pages and then puts them all together so that they look like a book. And then they send it off to a printer. Now, sometimes that's all one person. Sometimes that can be 10 people. When you're working at places like, you know, Marvel or DC and these big companies, they can pretty much get one book done in a month. When you're talking about big works, those can take years. We started Ghost River back in 2018. Ghost River was about 68 pages, 64 pages of just art. And then we had another 60 pages of essays and stories, lesson plans, and other things that went in the back of the book. So it took us 2 years. It just kind of depends on who you're working for, who you're working with, and how quickly you want to get them out the door.
What is it about graphic novels in comparison to traditional books that you prefer?
I am a big fan of art as well. I like drawings, but I think they're something really exciting when you blend words and images together. There's a magic that happens on the page. And I think there's this great space between books and movies. Because in movies, the pictures are going really, 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 really fast. With books, you're just imagining everything from the words. Graphic novels find this great middle ground for me because I get to see some of the pictures, but they're not going really fast, so I get to really savor them. And the words fill in all of the gaps that help my imagination fill out the rest of the world.
What drawed you to pictures instead of words? Like, what do you like more about pictures than words?
I'll just say right now that sometimes I love reading, but sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you all, if I read a lot, I get a little sleepy. Because the words are always the same on the page, and they're always in the same lines, and they always look the same way. I really like to have something that keeps my little eyeballs excited right there. That's the part. So it keeps my eyeballs excited, and it keeps me, like, activated and engaged. That's why I like the pictures.
Were there, like, one comic book that, like, inspired you to start making them? Or you were just like, I want to make books.
I was inspired when I was younger by Iron Man. I loved Iron Man when I was growing up. I loved technology. I loved how all his stuff worked, and I would make myself little suits of armor, like Iron Man armor, and I'd play in that. I always loved that. So that was early inspirational for me. And then as I grew up, I think one of my early books that I remember was a book called Scout, and Timothy Truman created this character. He was a Native American character, and he lived in a post-apocalyptic world.
Meaning like after a huge war and everything's fallen apart.
After the wars and society and all the rest. And he's just kind of going through as this native character trying to help people out and make things right. So a little bit of Mad Max, if you know the movie Mad Max, the ones that came out, it's kind of like that. And that one was inspirational for me because I thought it was really neat that there was this Native American main character. And I always like a good post-apocalyptic Hunger Games kind of story.
We're going to put a lot of links up for this episode. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for graphic novels. This is Weird Al, right here on the Children's Hour.
Poor Peter Parker was pitiful. Couldn't have been any shyer. Mary Jane still wouldn't notice him, even if his hair was on fire. But then one day he went to that science lab. That mutated spider came down. Oh, and now Peter crawls over everyone's walls, and he's swinging all over town. La la la. La 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 da dum. Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight, 'cause we're all in the mood for a hero now, and there's evildoers to fight. Kid's a friend of his who horns in on Mary Jane. But to his great surprise, it seems she prefers guys who can kiss upside down in the rain. With great power comes great responsibility. That's the catchphrase of old Uncle Ben. If you missed it, don't worry, they'll say the line again and again. Again, oh la 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 diddy da, la la diddy da da da. Now Norman's a billionaire scientist who never had time for his son. But then something went screwy, and before you knew, he was trying to kill everyone. And he's riding around on that glider thing, and he's throwing that weird pumpkin bomb. Yes, he's wearing that dumb Power Rangers mask, but he's scarier without it on. Sling us a web tonight, 'cause you're brave and you're strong and so limber now, but where'd you come up with those tights? It's a pretty sad day at the funeral. Norman Osborn has bitten the dust. And I heard Harry said he wants Spider-Man dead. Ah, but his buddy Pete he can trust. Oh, and MJ is all hot for Peter now. Ah, but Peter, he just shuts her down. Mary Jane, don't you cry. You can give it a try again when the sequel comes round. Oh, la la diddy da da dum. Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight, 'cause we all sure could use us a hero now. We think that you'll do all
That was Weird Al Yankovic right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning today about graphic novels. The Kids Crew have a couple of reviews of graphic novels coming up, and we have more conversation with Dr. Lee Francis, the Indigenerd. We're also going to talk with a science illustrator about how she uses graphics to teach. There's a lot more to learn. Stick with us. The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization teaching kids how to make public radio. You can learn more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Experience the magic of New Mexico's many cultural traditions at museums and historic sites statewide. More at nmculture.org/traditions. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.
I met the new kid in my class today. She smiled a lot like me. We both like video games. She asked me, "What's your name?" I invited her to sit by me. I said, "If you want, I can be your friend. I'll stick by you through thick and thin. And I know how to make daisy chains and a real good paper plane. We'll stick together like glue." She came from far away across the sea. There was a war out there. She said her family just had to leave. The waves were dark and crashing everywhere. She said, "If you want, I can be your friend. With you through thick and thin. And I know how to make Tony case and a real good paper plane. We'll stick together like glue. We'll light the darkest shadows. We'll take on all the bullies. We'll take the world on like superheroes. Shadows. Now everywhere we go, we tell everyone we meet. Doesn't matter where you be, only where you're going to. And if you got a smile, use it to break down walls. And if you got peace, peace is the biggest prize of all. Light the darkest shadows. On all the bullies, we'll take the world on like superheroes. We'll light the darkest shadows. We'll light the darkest shadows. I was the new kid in my class today. One of the other girls smiled at me. We both like video games. I asked her, "What's your name?" And now the rest is history.
That's Claudia Robin Gunn out of New Zealand right here on the Children's Hour. We're talking with Dr. Lee Francis IV. He's from the Pueblo of Laguna. He's Dr. Indigenerd. He's the founder and chief imagination officer of the Indigenous Imagination Workshop. And that's an organization dedicated to having Indigenous representation in the world of graphic novels. Why does it matter if a story is told from an Indigenous perspective versus not an Indigenous perspective? What is it that was missing for you from those early comics that you read that were not Indigenous?
Yeah, that's a great question. The ones that were not Indigenous, although I love them and I grew up with them and they were inspirational for me, there's always a part where I like to be able to see myself represented in the media. Imagine that you are a person that really likes horses. We'll just use that as an example. But everything that you ever come across is just about people liking dogs and cats. And you don't get to read anything about people liking horses. And you don't mind dogs and cats. And you probably have a cat and you like to pet them. But you're really into horses. And you just love horses so much. You ride horses. You're a horse culture person. But you never see anything that looks like that. Well, along comes somebody that says, hey, I'm going to draw this picture and I'm going to make this book. And it's going to talk about being a person that loves horses. It makes you feel really good. It makes you feel good that you get to see yourself, that you get to have the same connections and experiences as other people. One of the other reasons why it's important to have Native Americans or Native people telling these stories is that oftentimes, if you're not a part of that culture, some of the details you can get a little wrong. There's a lot of people, and not in New Mexico, of course, but around the United States and around the world that think the Native Americans all live in teepees and all ride on horseback and have big feathered bonnets and that they go around and they're all mighty warriors. Well, part of the work that I do and part of the why it's important is to tell other stories in a visual way that shows Pueblo people like me just living our lives or telling historical moments where we had not every Native person was a warrior. They were diplomats and traders and storytellers and technologists and thinkers. All of that is why I think it's important to be able to tell those stories.
What started your series of comic books? Like, what is one of your series of comic books?
One of the first things that we wrote and that we created was a big book called The Tales of the Mighty Code Talkers. And The Tales of the Mighty Code Talkers was a story that talked about the Code Talkers, but their whole history from World War I all the way through the Korean War when they were finally disbanded. A Code Talker was somebody that used their Native American and traditional language to do codes, like secret codes back and forth to each other during World War I and World War II and on into Korea. Because our native languages weren't written down, as long as the two folks were talking to each other, none of the enemies could ever understand what was being said unless they were from that tribe or their community. So they were speaking in code. They became known as the Code Talkers.
That's Dr. Lee Francis from the Pueblo of Laguna. He's also known as Dr. Indigenerd. He's the founder and chief imagination officer of the Indigenous Imagination Workshop. We've got a lot more to learn about graphic novels right here on the Children's Hour. But first, this is Artson, Kese, and Superman.
Never give up. Go, never stop dreaming, never stop chasing the things you believe in. Never ever, ever ever stop reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top. Never give up, let go, never stop dreaming, never stop chasing the things you believe in. Never ever, ever ever stop reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top. Look my top of the world and I'm soaring. Tongue out, wing spread, Mike Jordan, mic check like a night check. Swoosh, get it, yeah I said it. Never let it get to the dome when I wet it. Spread it, the healing and the feeling I got. I'm reaching for the ceiling when I'm dealing with thoughts. Feel me, laughing at my like, oh, silly me, chill, stay real to the vision, keep on living for the skills I was given, winning cause I'm hitting them out the park, run around the bases, back to start, my heartbeat pumps and pounds my chest, and I'll never stop reaching till I'm all out of breath. Never give up, let go, never stop dreaming, never stop chasing the things you believe in, never ever, ever ever stop, reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top. Never give up, let go, never stop dreaming, never stop chasing the things you believe in, never ever, ever ever stop, reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top.
Yo, many times we struggle through the human battle make you feel like you're a cattle, but don't give up and try to live up to expectation that they give in, live your own life, know what's fake and non-fiction. We've been through the storm, came out, we're torn, learn the lessons, adapt or conform. I can't stop, won't stop or more, I stand up for a reason and purpose, I'm a tourist, I'm how the earth is, focus, vision, observe, listen, dance to the rhythm, makes sense when you spit, yo, I can't stop, won't stop, don't stop, this is for my people, this is for hip-hop, yo, we don't give up, yo, we ain't scared, yo, our men's too strong with our pipes in the air.
Never give up, let go, never stop dreaming, never stop chasing the things you believe in, never ever.
The machine go rap for all my people with the bass. Need your back, freestyle, craniums crack. Yeah. Every day is another opportunity to be better than the food that you used to be. Truthfully, you're the limits up in your head. Hit it with infrared. Now go get it and let it spread to the whole nation. It's a flotation, standing ovation. Make a donation and locations. Now we're here. Throw your hands in the air like you just don't care. Cause I wanna rock right now. I'm Superman, I came to get down. Yo, cause the sounds all fresh all around. We bless. Don't allow no stress. Feel my heartbeat pumps and pounds my chest. And I never stop reaching till I'm all out of breath. Come
never
on.
Give up, let go. Never stop dreaming. Never stop chasing the things you believe in. Never ever, ever, ever stop reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top. Never give up, let go. Never stop dreaming. Never stop chasing the things you believe in. Never ever, ever, ever stop reaching for the ceiling till you reach the top.
You're listening to the Children's Hour today. We're learning about graphic novels, and not just graphic novels, but specifically graphic novels geared towards Indigenous people, Native people. Our guest is Dr. Lee Francis IV. He's from the Pueblo of Laguna. He is Dr. Indigener, the founder and chief imagination officer of the Indigenous Imagination Workshop.
What is your favorite comic book which you wrote? And by comic book, I mean just like, you know, any type of sequential art form.
And this is always a tough question for any writer or artist. But I think one of the ones that had the most meaning for me was another comic that we wrote that took place outside of Philadelphia called Ghost River. And I wrote that about almost 5 years ago. And it tells the story of the Conestoga people who were attacked and killed way back in the 1700s, and it tells their history, it tells their past and present and future. And while I was writing it, I got the chance to go and visit their homelands, where they were, where they had their original township. And I got to work with one of my favorite artists. Her name is Wisholi Alvitre. She's Tongva, a Native American from Southern California, from the Los Angeles Basin. It was just a really memorable experience. Because I think that for me, the writing itself, like the product, what comes out of it when I finish the writing, is just as important as how I got there, the journey to the writing. This was one of those projects that was one of the comics that was really great for me for both instances, to write and to experience. And you can read that one for free at ghostriver.org. So if you want to go check it out, yeah, you don't have to go down to the comic shop. You just pop up on your computer.
What was, like, the hardest part of making books?
The hardest part of making books for me is still just the writing of it. Just like you guys, I'm no different. We all start out on a blank page. It all looks the same, whether you're typing it on a computer, whether you're writing it in a journal, it's still just a blank page. And that blank page can be really intimidating because there's so much possibilities. And I still look at it. I was like, what am I going to do? I have no idea. And I'll outline and I'll make notes. But when you go to sit down and actually start writing, it can still be a little scary. So that is always the hardest part. Now, once I get started, once you get past that little bit of scaredness, that little bit of fear, you're ready to go. And that's what I love it the most.
How do you keep motivation when you're working on a project that could last years?
You got to tackle it in little small sections. Also, when I have my motivation, it's working with a team. So even when I'm working on things that I'm just working on for myself, it's setting deadlines. It's making sure things get met. I just have to do that internally. But it's really great. I find it's more motivating when I have a team that works with me, that I can run ideas past, that I can share new things with, that we can figure out creatively how things are going to work. That's my favorite way to be motivated. For me, a lot of the times it's just saying what I want to see is the end result. And so I always keep in my head what that final book is going to be like when I get it and I get to open it up. That's what keeps me moving forward when I'm looking at a project that's been sitting on my computer desktop for 18 months. And I was like, just get me the book and then I'll be done and I'll be happy. That's always a great motivator.
Dr. Lee Francis, I hope that people listening get inspired to give graphic novels a chance and don't just assume that they're just for little kids, because there are so many good ones that are being published right now, including by your company. And we've got links posted where you can find them at childrenshour.org. Thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you all. You're amazing.
Bye.
Bye.
From Kids Powwow Songs, that's the Black Lodge Singers, and this is Claire Ness from Broccoli Farm with Superhero, right here on the Children's Hour.
You're a superhero, to the rescue, a superhero, saving the world, you're a superhero. To the rescue, a superhero with a heart of gold. Spider-Man and Superman and Wonder Woman too, with all their magic powers and suits of red and blue. Iron Man and Batman, Hercules and Sailor Moon, they've got nothing on you. You're a superhero, to the rescue, a superhero, saving the world, you're a superhero. To the rescue, a superhero with a heart of gold. Lightning speed and fists of steel, spider sense or a Batmobile, telepathy and force fields and powers unrevealed. Laser beams and sonic screams, anything that you can dream, nothing quite compares to having you on my team. You're a superhero, to the rescue, a superhero, saving the world, you're a superhero. To the rescue, a superhero with a heart of gold. A superhero, saving the world, you're a superhero. To the rescue, A superhero with a heart of gold. A superhero with a heart of gold.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting The Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the New Mexico Children's Foundation. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
Hi, this is Thorfinn from the Children's Hour with a review of Saga Sky, written and illustrated by Roy Boney Jr., published by Lee Francis. This book is about a man who has a very special mystical guardian. This book has many beautiful illustrations that you are left to decide what they mean yourself. I would say this was a very good book. It makes you think very deeply about quite a number of things. I would give it 5 out of 5 green chilies and would say it is appropriate for kids 10 and up. This is Thorfinn from the Children's Hour with a review of Saga Sky, written and illustrated by Roy Boney Jr., published by Lee Francis.
This is the Children's Hour, and this is Andy Strummer. Listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here with the kids crew on Zoom, and we have with us today Rachel Ignatovsky. She is a science communicator and illustrator, and welcome to the Children's Hour. Rachel, tell us about yourself.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me. Well, I am an author and illustrator, and I create nonfiction books about the topics that I think are really cool to learn about and are super important. So I like to talk about how the world works, the science behind our world, but I also like to talk about why the world works the way it does. So I have also written a lot of history books, including biography books about women's history. I'm really excited because we're here to talk about my book series called What's Inside. And it starts with the book, What's Inside a Flower? And then we also have the book, What's Inside a Caterpillar Cocoon? And What's Inside a Bird's Nest? And all of these books were inspired by the biology in my own backyard. And we talk about the science of springtime in each of them. And I'm just so excited to share them with you guys.
In some ways, your illustrations use simple forms, but they are really complex. So, for example, in your What's Inside a Bird's Nest, you not only show the birds in their nests, but you also show movement of birds. You show specific breeds of birds. I love the crane dancing sequence you have in here. Do you just know this much about birds? Are you a birder?
Well, for every single one of my books, the research is where I start. So what I'm an expert at is creating books. I'm an expert at making beautiful illustrations, creating infographics, and taking the hard science that, you know, scientists have done the independent research to do, reading about everything that they've already written, and then creating something new and fun and easy enough that anyone at any level of scientific literacy can interact with it. So that's what I'm an expert at the science communication, the communication part of it. So for all of my books, it starts with the research. So for this book, What's Inside a Bird's Nest, I, you know, of course, read a bunch of what I like to call thick, big textbooks about birds. I also went on lots of what I like to call little field trips to learn about birds. So I went hiking and birding myself. I went to museums. I went to zoos. I spoke with experts. So all of that comes together to form the foundation for the artwork that you see in the book.
How do you draft up from looking at a big, thick textbook, these really colorful drawings and create such easy to understand visual pieces from complex information?
I have a graphic design background, so organizing dense information, that's like my bread and butter. I start with sketches, where not only do I sketch what I'm going to draw, but I also place where all the typography is going to go. So when you're looking at one of my illustrations, not only is there a lot of things going on illustratively, but I also illustrate the words, the type. And by using what is called a typographic hierarchy, and that's just a fancy way of saying like some things are in bold, some things are really big, some words are different colors. By creating that visual language for all of the words that are part of an infographic that you're looking at, you can really make it easy to read. Graphic designers, they're sneaky. Their whole job is to make it so that you read without feeling like you're reading. So it's all about making the words get absorbed instantaneously through good design. So that's what I do when I create my illustrations. I incorporate good design to make sure that there's as much information as possible on the page.
Your art style is very unique, and I like it a lot. One thing I'm wondering is, how did you figure out what art style you wanted to draw, what way you wanted to make your pictures?
That's so funny. This is a question that I get from adults a lot, too. Everyone's always trying to find themselves through art, but really, the art finds you. Practice, explore, play with different materials, and it'll end up that it's going to be your limitations that actually determine your art style. So sometimes the stuff that you're bad at and the stuff that constrains you is actually the stuff that makes your art really special. I wasn't very good at drawing when I was a kid. I just loved doing it. Just keep at it. And eventually, as you mature and you keep creating, your style will poke through. And often it's the things that you were self-conscious about, they end up being your strengths.
What's your favorite part of writing and illustrating books?
Ooh, I think my favorite part is doing the drawings, for sure. I can draw no matter how I'm feeling. So if I'm tired or, you know, even feeling under the weather, I could still take out my little pen and draw. Writing, though, is really hard for me, and it requires a lot of discipline. So I have a couple hours a day where I'll be good at writing. So I have to make sure that I work during those 3 hours, and then I like to reward myself with little cookies and muffins when I'm done. So
I like that.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
What is some advice you could give to future writers and illustrators?
I think the best advice is practice, 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 and also seek out mentors. And that could be as easy as signing up for a class outside of school to just learn and grow even more. So if you're interested in something, don't expect to be good right away. Instead, seek ways to expand your knowledge and learn more, because that is honestly, that's the hardest part, is practicing and learning more about your craft.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Our guest has been Rachel Ignatovsky. She's the author of numerous books, including many for children. She's a science communicator and illustrator. And it's another way of using graphics to read. You can learn a lot more about Rachel and all our guests you heard today on the show by going to childrenshour.org. This episode is called Graphic Novels. Thanks for being with us on the Children's Hour, Rachel.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
This is The Hip Waiters right here on the Children's Hour. Children's Hour, we've been learning about graphic novels, and the kids, of course, were pretty excited about this topic. This is a book review done by Max on our kids' crew.
This book is titled The Graveyard Club. This is a comic book written by R.L. Stein, illustrated by Carola Borelli, and published by Boom Studios. The story is about five teenage kids who are friends who live at Gravesend, a pretty scary name for a town. In this story, the friends have tricks played on them, and they try to figure out who is doing it. There are scary moments, but there is also a funny side to the book. The illustrations are a masterpiece. I love the dark backgrounds. This book is for people between 11 and 13 years of age.
The graphic novel is called The Graveyard Club. It's by R.L. Stein and is illustrated by Carola Borelli and Francesco Segala. It's published by Simon & Schuster's Boom Books. You can find links and more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode graphic novels. We have time for just one more on the show today. We're going to go out with Nemo. We'll catch you next time.
I always wanted a red cape on my back. I always wanted to be the best in my pack. I always wanted to be known to be good, to be the hero of my own hood. If I could just fly, I could save everyone. Stop all the wars so nobody's gotta run. All the killing, all the crimes, pain and suffering. It's getting tougher to be buffered from it all. Are we gonna make it through? Is it gonna fly back in? Or is it our time now? Back in.
We don't have to leap tall buildings
in a single bound.
There's a lot of good that we can do
standing on the ground.
We don't need a jetpack soon
to take us to the cloud.
It's up to me and
to be a little more kind, spend a little more time in my changing life, yeah. Like giving a hug when somebody is down, and feeding a soul when there's nobody around it. Small things that can change the sound, and the vibe of the spirit that can change a town. And started small, now it's touched a crowd. The crowd is growing, now the word is out. That if we all do our parts, we can touch the clouds. Without a cape and a mask, we can touch the clouds, yeah.
We don't have to leap tall buildings. There's a lot of good that we can do
standing on the ground.
We don't need a jetpack suit
to take us to the cloud.
It's up to me and
make a difference, and all the power's locked within us. All we gotta do is find the key and turn the latch and set it free, yeah.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Amita Karnatra, Jackie Fulton, and Christina Stella, as well as Daniel, our intern. Many thanks to our guests, Dr. Lee Francis and Rachel Ignatovsky, for being with us on the show today.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.